Look at that. It is 8 o'clock, actually a minute past. It's KHUM Cutton, Eureka Arcata, and the Eureka Women's Club, and stream it on the web at khum.com. It's our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. And I don't know how many, what number of healing breakfast, because we didn't start the healing breakfast right away.
No, and we kind of went off and on, too. We were at the Eureka Inn a few times, and that was stunning at that time.
Lots of different places over the years. But anyway, so the room is getting all set up with all kinds of resource tables. Our panel of guests are filtering in. We've also got the True Gospel Singers getting all set up on stage. And to start off with, Sherry, you wanted to make an acknowledgement.
Well, first, good morning, everyone. I'm Sherry Johnson, and I am the luckiest person to be the co-host today for our 20th annual Healing Breakfast, Stop the Violence, Start the Healing radio education campaign, however many healing breakfasts there are here. Here we are. So before we get started with our festivities, we want to take a moment to acknowledge that we are on Wiat tribal land, that nothing that is ever said or done, nothing written in history, nothing that ever has occurred will change that. And we are grateful to be guests here, and we're awfully happy to be able to provide this opportunity to come together for a healing breakfast.
Fantastic. Okay. And we also have Sister Juana here to start things off.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you again. It's hard to believe another year went by so quickly. But in order to prepare ourselves for this wonderful day and this beautiful morning, I think it's time to reflect, and I ask you to join with me in a benediction. I ask you to call upon your higher power, your divine Lord, and your great spirit. We do thank you for this new day, for this wonderful panel, Amy. Good seeing you. Bless all of us here and those listening on the radio and the food and drink we are about to receive. We ask you to comfort those still carrying physical scars of domestic abuse and all violence. Heal the victims of rape by bringing justice to the perpetrators. And may all the victims of murder rest in peace, and grant consolation to all those who mourn their loss. And we say amen, ah, women, and of course, all the rest. Thank you.
Thank you. Fantastic. And I would like to remind folks that this event is completely free and open to the public, and it is at the Eureka Women's Club. You're saying, where is that? The address is 1531 J Street. It's just a few blocks down from the high school, from Eureka High School. And this is going on until 10 o'clock. There are delicious pastries from Ramon's Bakery. There's a wonderful coffee from our good friends at Signature Coffee, naturally the Cajun blend. We've got beautiful flowers all around the room from Sun Valley Floral Farms, donating those. We do appreciate that. And a whole bunch of amazing resource tables as well. I think we should probably introduce our panel of guests. Well, we are missing one, and we will introduce her when she does arrive. So I guess we'll start with you, Sherry. Ah, here we go. Our fifth panelist is arriving.
Right.
Fantastic.
And I also want to acknowledge Oceana Madrone and bringing the wonderful quilts that are warming the room, and the opportunity to make a quilt square. So you don't have to be an artist. You just have to hold a crayon or something. Okay.
That's true.
Right. I'm Sherry Johnson. I'm the co-host, and in my other hat is Director of Field Education in the Department of Social Work at Humboldt State University, and I'm a board member of the Humboldt County Domestic Violence Coordinating Council. Patrick?
Ah. I'm Patrick Cleary, and I'm here in my capacity as the executive director of the Humboldt Area Foundation.
Hi, good morning. I'm Paula Arrowsmith-Jones, and I'm with the North Coast Rape Crisis Team.
And good morning. For the first time I'm on the panel, I'm Amy from KHOM, and one of the hats I'm wearing this morning is as the coordinator for College of the Redwoods Adult Education Basic Skills and ESL classes. So we have a lot of free classes available in the community as a great resource, and that's why I was invited to be on the panel.
You wear a lot of hats.
I wear a lot of hats.
And I must say, they look marvelous.
Thank you. But I will also say that I've been part of the planning and organizing of our annual Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign since its inception.
Absolutely. You have indeed. And I want to give an acknowledgement before we even get going on this to someone who has been part of this from the very beginning as well. And we couldn't do it without her, and that is Sherry Johnson.
Oh, Sherry, we love you. She works so hard. She does
tirelessly.
So much. She connects us with almost all the speakers you hear every year,
mm-hmm.
and does more than we could ever thank her for, and she is a blessing in our lives.
Absolutely. And this year, for some reason, our 20th, has been a very challenging year. There have been several things that have fallen through, and it's just been, woo!
But it's been serendipity, it's been, as it is every year. Life is always right in a really weird way.
And it is a really weird way.
And then we've just had wonderful, wonderful conversations, really. We're so grateful to everyone who gave up their time and were brave enough to go on the radio.
And as we head into this Thanksgiving week, for those who have the time, you know, you can set up your computer in the kitchen maybe or wherever you are, and you can go to khome.com and click on the beautiful Stop the Violence, Start the Healing logo in the upper right-hand corner of the page, and that will connect you to all the conversations we've had this year and in the past several years, and you can catch up on anything you may have missed.
Yeah, it is. All the interviews are there. And there's a photograph of everyone we've talked to and all the panels, so it has been good, and it's been a very powerful year. We've focused for the first time we've focused on really one overarching topic, and that has been dealing with privilege, prejudice, and the violence of otherism. It's a big topic, but it is one that deserves that much time on it, and there's been so many amazing conversations thus far, and I would encourage anyone who hasn't had a chance to actually hear it while it was live to check it out at khome.com under the Stop the Violence logo. They'll be there all year, along with the previous years as well.
And let's just take a second, too, to remember Bernice Kagan, who was the graphic artist who
for that beautiful logo.
Donated our beautiful logo. It was so, it has just lasted for so many years and been so meaningful.
And here's an interesting thing. Oceana Drone is wearing an old Stop the Violence t-shirt. We did those almost 20 years ago. And hers, she wore it out and actually found this just recently at a garage sale. And it was like, kismet. It's like, wow.
More of that serendipity Sherry talks about.
Right. So that's worth coming down to the Eureka Women's Club just to see Oceana's t-shirt. So come on down.
All righty. So I'm hoping the True Gospel Singers will be ready for us to hear a few songs. I need to stay on top of this, being the holiday season. So we've got all of our sponsors are chomping at the bit, ready to say their words, so we will certainly let them do that. Please pay close attention to our sponsors. These are the ones that keep KHOM on the air year after year after year. And also a big thank you to Schmidbauer Building Supply for sponsoring the entire campaign this year. You've got it on KHUM. Alrighty, so we are here at our Healing Breakfast for our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We've introduced all the different panelists. And up on the stage, the True Gospel Singers are got their microphones all set up. And why don't you introduce yourselves, guys?
Hello, good morning. My name is James Harris, and we are the True Gospel Singers. We got Jeff Thomas.
Good morning.
Yes, and we got Andy Hannon. And we are really, really happy to be here today. And we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to share. Thank you, Cliff.
Thank you.
water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. My God's gonna trouble the water. Come on and wade,
wade
in the water. Wade,
wade
in the water, children, wade,
wade
in the water.
My God's gonna trouble the water.
See that host all dressed in white.
God's gonna trouble the water.
It must be the children of the Israelites.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on and wade,
wade
in the water. Wade,
wade
in the water, children, wade,
wade
in the water. My God's
gonna trouble the water.
See that host all dressed in red.
God's gonna trouble the water.
It must be the children that Moses led.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on and wade,
wade
in the water. Wade,
wade
in the water, children, wade,
wade
in the water. My
God's gonna trouble the water. Oh, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. Maybe the last time, I don't know. Maybe the last time that we sing together.
Maybe the last time, I don't know.
I said maybe the last time that we sing together.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. True gospel singers. That was just amazing. We'll be hearing from them throughout the morning. And I again really appreciate you guys taking your time to come out here early in the morning. Doing this early in the morning for musicians is like the middle of the night for anyone else. It is really, really early. Alrighty, so let's recap a little bit about this campaign that we have done thus far. So we have dealt with privilege. We started off this entire campaign with Jennifer Eichstedt of Humboldt State University, and What an amazing way to start this thing off. And Sherry, again, thank you so much for pulling that one together, because she was quite an amazing person to talk to.
Yes, the bias coordinator on campus is just a logical choice there.
Absolutely. And it was kind of an eye-opening conversation because there are so many different layers of privilege. And you have to acknowledge it. Almost everyone has some form of privilege, no matter what their station in life. There's almost always someone beneath as far as these layers of privilege go.
Well, I feel like it's also the different subtle and not so subtle things that people have to deal with. The microaggressions that were talked about this last week especially, they build up. They're the straws on the camel's back. And if we want to thrive and nurture one another as a community, it's important to be mindful, and it's important to be thoughtful so that we don't bring people down one little straw at a time.
Absolutely. And while we've got you here, Amy, you are representing adult education at College of the Redwoods. Explain what you guys do and how that helps out in our community.
We offer free classes in the community in 10 different areas. Some of the things that I'm more specifically involved with have to do with adult basic skills, work readiness, English classes for people who need to learn English or learn English better. We are in communities from Garberville to Crescent City to Hoopah. All of our classes are free. And it's a great opportunity for folks to get some extra education. Not everybody is ready to jump into the deep end of whether it's career and technical education or a traditional college degree. A lot of folks need some extra space and some extra guidance and some extra support to be successful in whatever they choose to do. And so we offer classes that range from helping people get their high school equivalency, the GED and the HiSET, to learning enough English to get a better job or to work on their citizenship. We also are teaching in the jails. We're in the Humboldt County Jail, the Del Norte County Jail, and we just started in Pelican Bay doing a bridge to college there. So we know that education is a key to people being able to do more with their own lives and empower them. And by offering a free gateway of that education, we're making a big difference one person at a time, I feel.
I think Dr. Renee Bird, who I talked to yesterday, would very much appreciate the fact that that there's such outreach in the jails. One area of privilege is education. Being able to get an education or a higher education often comes at a price.
Higher education can be very expensive, as we know, with parents with student loans for our actor child, whose birthday it is, by the way. Education can be very expensive. And one option is to get some of that preparation done for free. College of the Redwoods, I think, offers a wonderful opportunity for people to get the first 2 years of their bachelor's degree under their belt for a lot less money, and in many cases with a Board of Governor fee waiver. So I think it's a real smart choice for a lot of folks to make their budget go further. We have a lot of students who are on very tight incomes who come from families with not a lot of privilege, and there are a lot of great programs that we have to support those students from the EOPS. We have a new one that's just starting called TRIO. My friend Brady runs that. And for folks who need some extra support or could use some extra support financially and with one-on-one tutoring, we have so many options.
Fantastic. And, of course, this week we are really looking at celebrating allies. And we've talked to lots of different allies. And one ally in our community, an ally that really stands out, of course, is the Humboldt Area Foundation, and we happen to have the executive director of the Humboldt Area Foundation, and someone I've known for quite a long time, because he was our general manager at KHUM for a long, long time. It's Patrick Cleary. Thanks for coming on the panel today.
You know, it's an honor to actually finally be invited, to be honest.
I know how you feel.
I thought it was rather ironic. But,
yeah. Well, so you're wearing that hat, and I want to say that looks marvelous as well.
Thank you.
So talk a little bit about Humboldt Area Foundation and how they're an ally to this community.
Well, I think Humboldt Area Foundation, because of its sort of unique position as an organization that's here for the long term. We're set up basically to be here forever. And as such, because we're a conduit for so many organizations and so many donors to touch the things that are important to them, that we're able to bring people together around issues and to, you know, connect people and to really inform people on issues, particularly, I think, inclusion and equity have been things that we've been very focused on lately in terms of where we're trying to get our community to really embrace everyone. I think because we play sort of that neutral role, that we're able to bring these conversations more to the forefront and really try to get people to work together, because I think one of the challenges in Humboldt County is we have hundreds of people who are working on similar issues, but not always in coordination with each other.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And, of course, Humboldt Area Foundation, for many years, and long before you were even there, is the manager of our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing Fund, which is a fund that every year we give a gift to some organization in our community that's on the front lines of helping out our community, and Humboldt Area Foundation has managed that for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about Humboldt Area Foundation is it sort of democratizes philanthropy, that you don't have to be a millionaire to set up your own foundation. You can have a fund of basically whatever size, really, and have that set up and run like it's its own foundation, where the money's invested, the earnings are paid out in form of grants. And, you know, we've been around since 1972, and we started with $2.4 million from Vera Viator in her lovely house, which is where our offices are still. And now we're up over $106 million, and that's really the reflection of this incredibly generous community that we have here. And we have over 700 funds, so the KHUM Stop the Violence Fund is just one of very
many.
One
of many.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a great organization, and thanks for coming in. Paula Aerosmith-Jones is here representing North Coast Rape Crisis Team. You have been, and your organization has been an ally to this community for so long, and really on the front lines of dealing with some pretty tough issues.
Yeah, we've been serving the community for coming up on 44 years, actually. I haven't been there that whole time, but...
Feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, it really started from activism, some local community members wanted to address violence in the community and support survivors, and they saw a great need for to raise awareness in the community about not only sexualized violence, how it occurs, but how systems respond. And they really set the tone for the organization that still exists now, that we are led by survivors, that we learn from survivors. And the mission, or excuse me, the vision statement of the North Coast Rape Crisis Team is to imagine and actually create a world without violence. And that's our goal, is to create safer spaces and moments so that survivors can be listened to, be believed, not be judged, not be told what to do or how to think or feel, but really just to be afforded opportunities of that allyship so that they create, manifest their own healing.
That's fantastic. And this kind of violence is now finally really being taken seriously. As a matter of fact, I teach at Humboldt State University, and everyone had to take a course and pass a test on sexual violence.
Yes, we did.
And I will tell you what, over the past 20 years of being part of this panel, I sailed right through that one.
That's good to hear. And, you know, we at the North Coast Rape Crisis Team, we partner heavily with HSU. We helped develop this amazing outreach prevention program. They have Check It, which is all about having each other's back, caring about each other, interrupting potential moments of harm, and recognizing that violence is a choice and that those who create the violence are the ones responsible for it, and that the rest of us can be there for each other to try to decrease the likelihood of that happening and be there for someone if it has happened. And I'd also like to mention to the community that we're also now the HSU campus advocate and have an office on campus now, as well as our other two offices in Eureka and Crescent City.
Fantastic.
Paula, would you give the crisis line, please?
I'd love to. It is 707-445-2881. And anyone who has ever been impacted by any form of sexualized violence, whether that's in child sexual abuse, sexual harassment, sexual assault as a teen or an adult, and whether it happened today or 50 years ago, they are welcome to call that line at any time.
Fantastic. I think what we need to do is we need to stay on top of this, take a quick break, let our sponsors say a few words, and I think it might be a good time for us to talk to and introduce some of the resource tables that we have around the room. Again, this is our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. It is the Healing Breakfast. This is the culminating event, and we are coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club. It is at 1531 J Street in Eureka. And at this free event, you're certainly welcome to come, enjoy the pastries from Ramon's, have the coffee from our good friends at Signature Coffee, enjoy the beautiful flowers all around the room from our good friends at Sun Valley Floral Farms, and of course the terrific music of the True Gospel Singers. We'll be hearing from them again in a little bit. And of course we have got Betty Chin, who we're going to be hearing from in a little bit, and she is going to be doing our keynote address as well.
And if folks are listening on the radio and you can make it to the Eureka Women's Club, please come and join us. We would love to have you.
Absolutely. Anyway, we're going to let our sponsor say a few words and back to our campaign in just a moment. All right, you've got it on KHUM. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign, our 20th, and we are here live at the Eureka Women's Club. And Patrick pointed out that it doesn't say on the web where this is, so... That's a mistake we're going to correct next year. I will tell you right now that it is at 1531 J Street here in Eureka. And this event, of course, is free and open to the public. And Amy has the wireless microphone. And,
I do.
And is going to kind of zip her way around the room talking to the various different resource tables.
Well, our first person is Sister Juana, representing the Eureka Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Well, you know, it's so nice to see everybody here, all these nonprofits and wonderful groups. As sisters, we have fun, a lot of fun in the community. We raise money basically professionally for nonprofits. We've supported the seniors, students, when it comes to animals or trails through Arcata. The schools where we've raised quite a bit of money for various groups, and what we like to do is we like to have fun, and if anybody out there would like to just have fun, we're always looking for volunteers. We have volunteers at help and guards and the sisters. Well, what we basically do is we have raffles, and we're approached by other nonprofits, and they would, you know, when they need monies, and we hold a raffle and a bingo, and we have fun and games, and the proceeds go to the nonprofits. So if any nonprofits out there would like some monies, we're here. We are planning a bingo somewhere around St. Valentine's Day. It's in the works. So look around town for posters, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
And the Eureka Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is also a full-service ministry. I will add that. Oceana Madrone, please tell us about your wonderful project.
No, talk it. The Healing Quilt Project started probably over 20 years ago. And come to community events, and people can make a quilt square. We do different themes. This Stop the Violence, Start the Healing is always a good one. And traditionally, quilts have been an integral part of community life, and we use them for celebrating and honoring births and marriages, and we use them in memory after people have died. They've also been used to address social issues, and the Healing Quilt Project is really proud to continue that tradition of addressing social issues. The Healing Quilt Project provides a chance for survivors to find their voice, to tell their truth, to express their feelings, and to receive messages of support and understanding from the community. It also provides a chance for the community to break the silence and intimidation surrounding violence against women and children. To see the art and to read the stories is very powerful. And it gives a chance for the community to make quilt squares to offer comfort and hope and support and to send the message that you are not alone, you deserve to be safe, and you have been heard and believed.
Thank you for your work, Oceana. We're honored to have you here. All right, we now walk across to the back of the room to the Raven Project. She's not back yet. Are you not willing to speak? You want your coordinator? We're going to skip them. We'll be back. All right. Now we have our friends from the Promotores. We are so happy that you're back again this year.
Thank you for inviting us. We are really happy to be here. We are representing the Promotores of a community. We are different people who work in different agencies and programs and volunteers from the community. We work with the Latino, most of us with the Latino people. Our goal is to improve the services for the Latino community. And we want to let you know that True North, who is one of the programs who participate with us, will be having a summit this Saturday. It's called the Immigration Research and Rights Summit. And it's tomorrow from 12 to 4, and it will be in Sacred Heart Catholic Church, which is located in 2085 Mirror Avenue in Eureka. There will be lunch, transportation, and childcare provided. And for those of you who speak Spanish, we have a Cumbre por los Derechos de los Inmigrantes, el día de mañana, noviembre 21, de 12 a 4, en la Iglesia del Sagrado Corazón, que está localizada en el 2035 de Middle Avenue en Eureka. Y tendremos almuerzo, transportación y cuidado de niños. Y esto es gracias a la organización de True North, que es parte de los promotores de Humboldt. Thank you, and I hope that you can attend. Have a good day.
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Hi, I'm Mary Beth. I'm from the District Attorney Victim Witness. And what we do is we try to reduce trauma for victims of violent crimes. We explain the court system that's often confusing for people. We go to court. We connect community services. We open what we call a victim crime claim to help defer costs, medical, funeral, burial, and counseling. Also for relocation for domestic violence victims. And every needs are different, so our services are not limited to those.
Thank you. Marianne.
Hi, I'm with the North Coast Rape Crisis Team, and we provide intervention services for all survivors, all ages, the whole gender spectrum, and for their loved ones, some support and assistance around that. And we come from a very survivor-centered place. So it's we're here to listen, believe, and support. We co-advocate with victim witness and go to court and law enforcement and medical evidentiary exams. We also provide in-person counseling and support groups for women. The other thing is our 24-hour crisis line. That's 707-445-2881. Then we have our spectrum of prevention education, starting with the little ones in preschool, going all the way up through adult and community organizations, talking about this issue. As Vince mentioned over and over again, people are silenced around this. And so that's part of our goal in our agency, is to support people finding their voice and not telling them there's a right or a wrong way to do this. I also wanted to mention is that we have a lovely quilt that the most beautiful creative Oceana made and donated to us, and that's a fundraiser for us, and the drawing will be held today. So enjoy.
And it's not too late to buy the raffle tickets here. All right, P-Flag, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm Linda Shapiro. I'm the president of P-Flag. And for those that don't know, P-Flag stands for Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians, Gays, Transgenders, Queers, Questioning, Anybody. It's a confidential support group. We have our meetings once a month at 6:30 in Fortuna on the first Tuesday of each month, in the Ferguson House next to the St. Francis Episcopal Church, and in Eureka on the second Monday of each month from 6:30 to 8, and it's at the United Congregational Christian Church on 900 Hodgson Street. If you have any questions, please call me at 768-3287. We welcome everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. We also have with us again our friends from Two Feathers Native American Family Services.
Hi, we're located in McKinleyville, and we work with Native American individuals in the Humboldt County area. We provide services to individuals who have experienced domestic violence, stalking, dating violence, child abuse, neglect. We offer counseling, emergency services, shelter, food, and clothing, and we have therapeutic culture groups for the adults and children. And did I say counseling? For adults and children.
Thank you. And Betty Chin, you have somebody here to speak about your center?
Yeah, Teresa. Hi, thank you for having us here today. Hi. My name is Teresa. I'm the program manager of the Betty Kwan Chin Day Center. We offer supportive services for homeless and unstably housed children and adults. For adults, we offer housing and employment search assistance, case management services, phone and mail service. We partner with other agencies such as Eureka City Schools, who comes every Friday to offer GED and high school diploma unit recovery support. We also have a children's program component to the Day Center. At the core of that program is the academic-based after-school program. We serve kids aged from kindergarten to fifth grade. We have a positive parenting program. Part of what the Children's Services offers is drop-in childcare for families. So when parents need to attend to housing and employment searches and they have young kids, they could drop off their kids every day. They could have on-site childcare while they attend to what they need to do to piece their life back together.
Alrighty. Those are, we've got, Raven has come back, so we'll talk to them.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And it's always wonderful to be here for the Healing Breakfast. So a little about Raven. We are a street outreach and drop-in program for youth ages 10 to 21. And at our center in Eureka at 523 T Street, we offer showers and laundry for youth ages 10 to 21. And food, referrals, a safe place to be, a number of wonderful youth empowerment groups like Queer Coffee House, a girls space, a drum circle, and an art workshop. And what else am I missing? We also do street outreach, so you might see us around town walking around and passing out survival supplies and talking with youth on the streets and inviting them to our drop-in center. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
And those are the resources in our room today.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Amy, for doing that work. And we've got the True Gospel Singers. They're back up on stage, and I think we're going to get entertained by a couple of songs. And also, I think we're going to, after that, we'll hear from our keynote speaker, Betty Chin. But first, our sponsors have a few words they need to say. All right, you've got it on KHUM. It is our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We are coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club, which is at 1531 J Street in Eureka. It's the Healing Breakfast, and this is free and open to the public. We're almost done with our first hour, as incredible as that may seem. It only goes until 10, so stop on by. Get your share of the delicious pastries from Ramon's, wonderful coffee from Signature Coffee, and, of course, wonderful music from the True Gospel Singers. And they are up on the stage right now, and I think they are ready to give us a little bit of music. Take it away, guys.
Well, I won't take all my burdens down by the riverside.
I wanna take all my burdens
down by the riverside
and study war no more. I ain't gonna 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 study war no more.
Down by,
down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
I'm gonna take off of this sword and shield.
Down by the riverside
and study war no more.
Well, I ain't gonna study war no more.
I ain't gonna study
war no more.
I ain't gonna study.
King Jesus, down by.
Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Well, I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home, yeah. I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning train. Evening train might be too late. Evening train might be too late. Oh, evening train, yeah. Evening train. Evening train might be too late. Backpackers, pick up your load. Well, 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 backpackers, pick up your load.
Wonderful true gospel singers right here on KHUM Cutton, Eureka Arcata, and of course the Eureka Women's Club, and streaming on the web at khum.com. It is our 20th Healing Breakfast, coming to you live from the Women's Club. And it is, first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who has come out in this early morning. And for those of you listening on the radio, there's still an hour left of this campaign and this event here at the Eureka Women's Club, completely free. And we certainly hope that you can come over here and make it, as it is really something else. Really wonderful, good food, good people, and amazing resource tables all around the room. And we heard a little bit from each of them. And I think what I want to do right now is take a break and hear from our keynote speaker, who is Betty Chin, who was actually just at the KM Studios just the other day, talking about an event that is coming up. So let's see here. Let me zip forward here. And all right, there we are. We are ready now. So let's just take this break early, get a little bit of ahead of the game. And when we come back, we will hear from Betty Chin, our keynote speaker. Okay, you've got it on KHUM, 7 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We've got a wonderful group of folks here at the Eureka Women's Club, and I'm hoping if you're listening on the radio that you can come on down and be part of this. Right now, we have got Betty Chin up at the podium, and we've invited her to be our keynote speaker today. So, ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention to Betty Chin.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and I do want to tell anybody, if you are a victim of the violence, please come to Women's Club. This is the time for you to find your support. And even myself, stand up here, I'm celebrating my life, and celebrating healing for myself right now. And I was the victim of the clerical violence. I, as a child, 7 years old, I was forced to lay down the broken glasses, tie up on a tree, my ankles on a chain, for next 4 years. And then I still carry my scar. I still see my broken skin scar from a knee down the broken glasses. I still had a harm on my shoulder when I was in the labor camp carrying water. Seems from the age of 7 to 11 years old, and finally I swam and crossed the China Sea to Hong Kong look for my freedom. I got my freedom here, and I'm free. But I still carry my scar. In the old time, I always run 90 miles to free my anger, free my scar, and got healed. But I had nowhere to find myself healing because I feel so hurtful what they, the violence they told me. And then plus every morning when I look at the scar in my body, then the scar in my heart, I had nowhere to heal. And the only way I can heal and is run 90, 20 miles a day, and I keep running and running. I run marathon. I done all kind of stuff. I could not find a way. One day, my son asked me, "Mom, when do you stop to run? They don't know anything behind me at all." And then in that moment, I find my niche to help the children, because even I suffered when I was 7 years old. Half a century later, I still carry. Even last Sunday, and I was helping the homeless people, I bent the jacket out there, it was very cold last Sunday, I still hear a gunshot. I still hear my chin and my ankle. Suddenly, I couldn't walk. Suddenly, I feel the chin still on me. I carry two bed clothes. I cannot move. And one of the homeless guy asked me, say, "Betty, why you cannot move?" And I just cry. I just cry until I pass out my two bed clothes to them. And finally, my ankle changed to disappear from my leg. And I keep forward. So that's my mission. And in the last 30 years, my mission to help the children. I don't want anybody, any kid suffer, any people suffer the violence. So I do a lot of outreach with children. And I done it by myself, and wherever I see the kid suffer from abuse or hungry or abused by mental ill parent, I will put them out and report and love them, and because I don't want them carry a scar anymore. You know, the people think about the children carry a scar very, very long time, like myself, I cannot get rid of them. But each time when I pull a kid out of situation, I pull a woman out of violence by abuse, but I heal. That's the people always say, "Betty, you are so nice helping other homeless people and helping children." But that is healing for myself too. It's not just about them, also about myself too. Last Sunday was when I get the bed close to these homeless people. My chain will not untie on my ankle. I still carry on for real. I really cannot work. So I get my mission. I am not the education. You know, the anger to me, beside the physical, I've been violent, abused by people. Also myself, I lost my whole childhood. And I never had a formal education. And I still, in some kind of side effect from my violence, I cannot even write my name from any document. Because in the past, every time when I write a name in any document, somebody get killed in my family. So I still don't do that. I don't sign my name to any paper. I don't do paperwork. Yeah, that's my, I say, "Yo, guys, I tell Teresa, you do the paperwork." I don't do it. So, but that's my mission. More I do, more I want to help children. So that's why a couple years ago, I decided I cannot do it myself. I don't connect with the world in a Eureka. I just all by myself. So a couple years ago, we started to build a center. I want to lift up the people off the street. They want to make a better life for themselves too. The children had a place to go. So that's why we had upper school programming. The kids come to us. I made the best dinner for them because when I was young, I never had a food to eat. All I can eat is a human voice. Even today, time to time, I sit down in my beautiful kitchen in the center. I still tempted, want to go to garbage can, pack up the food to eat. I still carry on. So I just want a kid had a better life. Whatever happened, situation in their life, but we are here to help them, to support them. So we had children programming in our center. I want to see the kids smile. No matter the situation they had, they live in outside the camp, in a car, in a motel. But they come to the center. We had a few minutes for free for themselves, more normal life for themselves. That's the memory for the childhood life. So that's what happened to me. My mission is to rebuild the family, broke the cycle. And the cycle be a holiness, but also rebuild the children. From over the last 10 years now, I had over 200 homeless kids go to 4 years university. And one received a PhD from UC Davis, and one go to medical school. They are smart. They are not stupid, not dumb, because they are homeless. Homeless is not a crime, but they just need some guidance. They go forward with their life, but only me. But now look here, everybody here want to help these people. That's what I think. We had a very, very unique community here, and we all here want to help them. And we had an expert here. Teresa is very good to Alexander, connect the people from different, the family, the children. Alexa is a He's the director for the children program. And each kid, each time, sometimes come to center with us. Each time when you see the kid come in, all they want to hug, all they want to hug. And we treat them like a human being. We cannot label them. We cannot label them. I had one kid. Every day when he go to school, because he definitely has some kind of issue, and she had pooped the pen all the time, run the nose all the time. Every day, the teacher tells her outside the hallway because pee the pen and get wet, and then I change them. But today, he's been full 18 foster home family. And he tells me, I cannot even unpack my luggage. One family got in the family. Nobody want them. But he's a PhD today. He see the PhD and teaches Sacramento State. Just nobody get him a chance. But only one thing keep him going was, Miss Betty, I remember you always tell me, I will be somebody. I am somebody. I'm a professional. That's what we're doing in here. That's my healing. And I look at myself. I angry. People hurt me and take away my education. And I never been a kid. I was mute for 10 years because in 4 years living in the street in China, I am not allowed to talk to people. So I come to mute. I had no voice. I cannot do it. I still believe, today I cannot go to Chinatown. I still scared somebody going to grab me and take me back to China. I still doing that. See, it's a scar in my life. But when I doing this, helping the children, helping the family, rebuild the family, it's a huge healing for myself and help other people. Am I going to still run 90 miles? I don't have time anymore. and I get, but I still working, you know, but this is my passion to healing. My working hour from 3 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. Am I feel like a burden? No. Do I feel time? Sometimes I do. But the joy for healing. And today I come here, watch all your agency, different organizations here, want to help the people. It's the healing for me. And talking to you is a healing for me. And normally, I can burn in my, I don't feel anything in my hand. I can burn all my nerve. But right now, this moment, I feel something in my hand. I feel tingish. Otherwise, I even put the hand in my oven. I feel nothing. I've been damaged as a child. I still carry on. but not anymore. Look at your guys. Look at all your people here. Such great joy to see it. The new life for me, a new beginning for me. And now I know the teamwork. And then I really hope everybody can walk together and make it better for the people who suffer from violence. And thank you.
Hang on, Betty. First of all, thank you again for talking to us. Very inspirational. I don't think there's a dry eye in the house. Now, one thing we do every year for our Stop the Violence campaign is we give a check to a worthy cause. And there you go. As any nonprofit knows, unencumbered funds are gold, and those are completely unencumbered. Do what you want with them. I know you will do good. And, of course, we were just talking about the Stop the Violence Fund, which is managed by Humboldt Area Foundation, and we're always adding to it, and we generally add to it with very big events, and we've got a very big event coming up in January. I just want people to make note about this. It's going to be Cahum's 20th birthday party. This is going to be a huge off-the-hook event. Our birthday is on January 7th, but the party, we're going to move to January 9th because it's a Saturday, and it's just a better time for a party. So you're getting early notice right now. It is going to be a big off-the-hook party. It's going to be at the Adorney Center in Eureka. We'll have lots of live bands. There'll be beer. There'll be food. There'll be just a good time to be had by all.
And it's a fundraiser for our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing Fund.
That is right. Yes. Our biggest fundraiser we had was probably our 10th birthday party. So it seems appropriate that the next biggest should be the 20th birthday party. And that 10th birthday party was 5 minutes ago. I don't know how we're having our 20th birthday party now. That's kind of crazy. That is just, I don't quite understand that. Alrighty, so let me segue over to the other microphone. You can take this one.
For the sake of our radio and internet audience, Betty received a check for $909. We want to thank the Humboldt Area Foundation for managing our fund. We hope that you can use that to grow it into even more money to help even more people and heal even more scars, Betty. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. We all do. That was absolutely fantastic. Alrighty, let's see here. I think I'll take this opportunity to take a break. And
we'll pass around the Kleenex.
we'll all get a chance to dry our eyes, and we will continue on with this campaign. We're coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club, by the way, which is, again, located at 1531 J Street in Eureka. We're doing this until 10 o'clock today. All right, you've got it on KHUM. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We're coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club. Someone's blowing bubbles. Ah, it's Paula.
Celebratory bubbles.
There we go. Enjoy. That was great.
We should acknowledge the Eureka Women's Club. You know, every year they donate this gorgeous space to us for our event. So we want to thank them for that donation.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thank you indeed. And I can't think of a better keynote than Betty Chin as we are celebrating allies. You know, you talk about an ally in the community. Wow, you are fantastic. Wonderful speech. Wonderful speech. Okay, so we've got the True Gospel Singers are going to be coming up in just a bit, but what I want to do is, because what we are doing today for our last day of this year's campaign is talking about celebrating allies and, you know, what people can do to be an ally. You know, Betty Chin has shown us all what it is to be an ally. And you may be saying to yourself, well, that's Betty Chin. She's an amazing person. I'm not that amazing. I could never do anything like that. The reality is we all can do something. We all can do something to be an ally. And I'd like to go around our panel and talk about what it means to be an ally.
And I think Betty exemplifies exactly what we've been talking about how one person... It's so impossible not to be overwhelmed by the sheer amount of suffering and oppression and prejudice and bias. And goodness knows we're seeing tremendous examples of it now every day. But when we step back and we take a breath and we look around at who has made a difference in our lives, how we have made a difference in each other's lives, and then we know that it's just from each one of us. It's each one of us doing whatever it is we can do. And that doesn't have to be a huge thing. That doesn't have to be an every day, 24-hour, although the crisis lines are greatly appreciated, that's for sure. But it has to be something from inside yourself, where you stand beside someone. You don't do something for someone and speak for someone else, but you stand beside them and you figure out what is it inside of your own self that you have to give. What is your gift? And then figure out how you can give it.
And I think sometimes just the gift is the gift of understanding, of not being afraid, of looking at the other person and just really trying to understand where they're coming from and what is going on with them. And I think so often fear runs rampant these days, and that's sort of the enemy at this point. And that if we can just seek to understand each other and embrace that, I think that's the most healing thing we can do as people.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of being an ally is recognizing our own privilege. And most of us have some moments or positions of privilege, and we might also have moments or positions of being members of a group that is being oppressed. And yet, if I am going to try to be an ally in that moment, I have to recognize that I have a privileged opportunity to listen and learn from the person that I'm trying to be an ally to, or the group that I'm trying to be an ally to, because it would be their leadership that would allow me to know how I might be an ally to them. And I think that's really important, because otherwise efforts can turn into a kind of patronizing way of going about things rather than looking to the people that you're trying to be an ally to. So I think that's important.
I think that I'm an incredibly fortunate human being. I'm in a position through my many jobs of being able to connect with people one-on-one in wonderfully surprising and unexpected times and places. And I try very hard, I'm not always successful, but I try very hard to be mindful of that wonderful opportunity. And when I meet someone, I try to accept them as a human being, I try to accept them as an individual, I try to listen to them, I try to be there for them, and I try to offer the support that they want, and I let them guide it. When I'm at my best and I'm my most mindful, good things happen. And I think that each of us, regardless of how much privilege we may have, regardless of how much we may be parts of groups that are oppressed, we all get those opportunities. And it is a greater gift to those of us who can give that than it is to the person who receives it.
So for me, I think one of the best things that we all can do as an ally is to listen, be a good listener. You know, when someone has something to say, to listen to it. Actually, don't necessarily have that response ready and say everything's going to be okay, because sometimes it won't. And it's very important to listen and respect what people say. But I think it's also important to in being an ally is that if you are of privilege, and the reality is most of us are of some kind of privilege, even if you are towards the bottom of the rung of the ladder, there's always people below you on that ladder that you can help. And when you are in a position of privilege, to use that privilege to help others, it's way easier not to. It's very easy to take your privilege and run with it because you've got that. And why take a risk?
Earlier this week when you talked to Dr. Max Schnur about being an ally, he talked about part of being an ally is putting yourself a little bit at risk. And I think that that's really important to remember, that to really be an ally, it means taking on some of that risk, taking on some of that shared risk. You can't really be an ally if you're not willing to do that. But the payback is amazing.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, I know part of the conversation this year through the campaign has been about otherizing. And so if we see people as that other group or that other person, we're less likely to take that risk. If we see each other as shared humanity, then we can enter into those spaces where we might be able to be there for someone on an equal footing, not in a who's on top kind of positioning.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think of what Betty Chin is doing, you know, for homeless people. And the homeless are right now a major target of otherization. I mean, there is a lot. It is almost the last bastion of acceptable otherizing, you know, because it's there, we've been seeing it in most of the news about, you know, these raids where their possessions are taken and thrown away. And it's, they don't have much of anything. This is all they have. And most people are not horrified by that. And it's like, finally, someone's doing something to clean this area up. And, you know, it is actually, after, you know, looking at this, almost illegal to be homeless. I mean, there is really no legal recourse. You are, if you are homeless, it is absolutely illegal to be camping out in different places. What are you supposed to do? You're kind of in a catch-22. And, you know, this is one thing I think that a lot of us need to kind of step back and go, okay, this is a problem in our community. What are we going to do about it? Can we just push these people aside, sweep them away, make them go to some other community, let them deal with it? Or are we going to deal with it here?
And I think one of the keys is to, in at least my mind, not use that term homeless, because the term homeless, I think, gets applied broadly and starts to otherize right there. I mean, yes. We're talking about mentally ill people. We're talking about people with drug addictions. We're talking about people who have temporarily fallen on hard times. I mean, there's a whole host of people there. And if we start looking at them as people as opposed to putting one single label on all of them, then we're not going to get anywhere. And I think what we need to do is really take it and look at each person and break it into smaller pieces, and then that's how we can start to work on it, and then just work on it together, as Betty and I were just talking about just a couple of minutes ago. You know, there's so many people trying to do different things, and there's so many good people trying to help here, but a lot of times we're working in our own silos. Mm-hmm. And we really, if we can pull it together and we can take a comprehensive approach and look at, I mean, the mental illness issue is huge right now. The drug addiction issue is huge here. And what are we doing about that? And that's where that's some of the areas where we really need to start focusing.
Absolutely. Solutions.
Yeah. And, you know, we at Rape Crisis, and I was just speaking with folks at Raven Project, we see that one of those groups within the group that you're talking about are trafficked people, and particularly trafficked youth. And I think there's a lack of recognition in the community, or lack of awareness, that young people that are on the street, sometimes for survival, might be pushed into situations of exploitation where they're being used by predators out there, and that mistakenly that young person might be seen as a prostitute, as a person who's committing a crime, when actually what's happening is that somebody is exploiting them and using them, and there's not a lot of options that they would have to be able to escape that situation. So I know that several organizations in the community right now are trying to raise awareness about human trafficking and all the ways that that happens,
and to recognize that intersection or connection, that if you're living on the street and you're trying to survive, that it would be easy for someone to target you in that way, and that that's not the fault of the person who's targeted. That's the responsibility lays on the shoulders of one who would exploit that situation.
And I think one of the most beautiful things about us coming together is the act of changing our consciousness by changing our language, by changing our thoughts, and changing our behaviors. We've really had a transformation, even in the last 30, 40, 50 years, of really looking at how we are more alike and how we can be more of have assistance to each other than compete with each other for material gain. And the exploitation of each other, exploitation of the earth, exploitation of sort of the what we think are of resources, when these are the what sustains life. And the ability for us to look at how we contribute or how we don't contribute to the continuation of life and the health and healing of life. When we think and we take those few extra words to say people living without shelter, people living with mental health issues. We put the people in there, and those extra words create the thought process to make that alliance right there, right just in our thoughts, in our conversations. We can be and do better. And we have. We have. When you look at how much suffering there has been in the past, around the world and in the United States, the consciousness of people stepping forward to collaborate, to cooperate, to meet our needs, as opposed to competing to be richer and better. That gives me hope.
I also think that as people find words to tell individual stories, it brings the humanity forward. Betty shared some of her extraordinary journey with us this morning, and I know I was not the only one who had tears running down my face, feeling empathy for what she went through. And that's powerful. I have a very good friend whose husband is Muslim. He's a very good man. He's a very quiet man. He gives a lot to charity. She put her husband's story online in the wake of the tragedy in Paris so that people in our community would understand that some people are terrorists and other people are good people, and some of those people happen to be Muslim. You know, and I thought that was an extraordinarily wonderful thing for her to do, to post that story and say, let me tell you about this wonderful man and all the good that he does, and he's my husband and he's Muslim. And the people who read that story maybe had a little shift, maybe saw the issue as more complex and more human than a lot of people would like us to believe.
It's very easy to lump an entire group together. It makes things simple. We like simple answers to complicated questions, but there really aren't simple answers. And if we look at each person as an individual, everyone has a story. You know, we were talking about the homeless or the houseless or what
people without
people without
housing.
Homes. Every one of them has a story. Each one of them is a person. Each one of them got in this situation one way or another. They didn't just get up and say, you know what, I'm going to have a career as someone who lives in a tent and being persecuted by the police. That's my new career. I don't think that's the story, ever.
But I do think there's a key to also being able to summon up the compassion for those people who are afraid, those people who are the ones who are creating some of this tension by putting the labels and, you know, kind of going. And if we can at least embrace the fact that these people are scared and that they're coming from a place of fear, and if we can at least respond not in kind and not in hate, but to understand that people are scared right now. and what we all need to pull together. And to me, that's part of where we're going to just be able to change the dialogue a bit. I mean, some of this anti-homelessness that you hear about, it's mostly fear-based, out of people afraid about for their neighborhoods, afraid for people breaking into their houses, which unfortunately most times have nothing to do with homeless people. But nonetheless, if we can at least say, yes, I understand you're scared, we can start to, I think, then move forward on that. But that's a really hard part. It's one I struggle with sometimes, to have compassion for those people as well.
Well, but we did talk about that. I think it was when Maxwell Schnur was on, was talking about other rising people who have these strong opinions like that. And I think that is something to keep in mind as well, that we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot to take care of, and we're slowly running out of time. We're rapidly running out of time, actually. I know Oceana Madrone has got her quilt that she needs to give out there every year.
We have the North Coast Rape Crisis Team quilt raffle, so mm-hmm. one more chance to buy raffle tickets before we do that.
Right. And we've got the True Gospel Singers up on stage, and they are ready to do some music for us, and they have done such an amazing job thus far. Those of us here in the Eureka Women's Club have had a chance to hear them in person and see them doing their thing. But fortunately, this is going out over the radio, so thousands of you get to hear this as well. So, you guys ready? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear some more from the True Gospel Singers.
Call him up.
what you want.
Yeah. As I'm traveling through this rain, I need you to guide me.
Guide me. Guide me.
Oh,
guide me.
And everything will be all right.
Yes, it will be all right.
Sometimes I don't know which way to go. I need you to
guide me.
Guide me.
Guide me.
Oh, guide me. And everything will be all right.
Yes, it will be.
Up on the mountaintop,
guide me.
Down in the valley,
guide me.
My friends all turn away,
guide me.
And I don't know which way to go,
guide me.
I don't want you to leave me,
guide me.
Stand right by my side,
guide me.
Oh, if you
guide me. Yes, it will be all
up on the mountaintop,
guide me.
My friends all turn away,
guide me.
I don't want you to leave me,
guide me.
Stand right by my side,
guide me.
Be the left of my footstep,
guide me.
All that I'm asking,
guide me.
Oh, if you
guide me.
Gospel singers, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Wow, you guys are awesome. So, you have time for one more? Okay. Well, we got one more. We're going to present the quilt and get close to wrapping this thing up. Okay. True Gospel Singers.
way. You can always hear me say that I got heaven on my mind. Let's do it one last time. You know that I
got heaven on my mind.
On my mind.
I got heaven on my mind.
You know I
got heaven on my mind.
True gospel singers, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
That was fantastic. Wow, we are rapidly running out of time, and so we have got a couple of quilt things. We've got a quilt auction to take care of, and also Oceana Madrone is going to be giving out the healing quilt for the year. And I think Amy's got the wireless microphone, so I'm just doing some patching around here.
I'm here.
There you are. Okay.
I'm here.
Fantastic.
So we're over at the corner of the room with the North Coast Rape Crisis Team, and Oceana made them a very beautiful and whimsical teapot quilt. And she was the featured artist this year at the North Coast Natural Fiber Fair and sold a lot of raffle tickets there. And I'm going to draw the winner, and if you're here, great. And if not, we'll make arrangements. I've got one.
Oops.
And Kat Henry. Kat Henry gets the gorgeous quilt.
Congratulations.
And every year it's become a tradition at the Healing Breakfast that people make quilt squares, and Oceana then turns them into the most wonderful, heartfelt quilts. And every year, she presents one.
First, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who made a quilt square. And this year, the quilt squares are on the wall and on the table where people are still working for them. But this is the quilt that was made last year. And it is with great pleasure that we present this quilt this year to Betty Chin. And I think Betty told her story today better than anyone could and is so, so deserving of the quilt. Thank you, Betty.
Fantastic. For those of you who are listening at home, Betty was given the quilt. She has wrapped herself in it, and it looks fantastic.
A great big hug from the community to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, as incredible as it may seem, we have used up all of our time. It is done. Our 20th Stop the Violence campaign is wrapped.
That's right. That's right. 20 years, blink of an eye. Blink,
truly,
blink, blink. And so remarkable. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, all of the guests, all of the panel guests, all of the people, everyone who's contributed to this event today and to the campaign itself. We are eternally grateful.
Thank you. Thank you. And from the Eureka Women's Club on J Street in Eureka, we sign off for our Healing Breakfast and our 20th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign here on KHUM. Please, if you have not listened to the entire campaign, it's all available at khum.com. Every interview, every moment that we have talked with folks. And hopefully you'll take something with you with regard to being an ally, because being an ally is what this campaign is really about this year. You've got it on KHUM.